I think that's how we're going to start every episode of the podcast from now on, with some oming, and then we can be enlightened beings. But of course, we are all enlightened beings, regardless of whether or not we're oming, or regardless of whether or not we do yoga, or regardless of whether or not we end every sentence or meeting or salutation with namaste. This is the Energy is Love podcast, and you are listening right now to the words that are coming out of my mouth. Thank you for listening, everybody. Thank you for tuning in and subscribing and sharing the podcast. When people ask you, where can they listen to the podcast? You can tell them theenergyislovepodcast.com. And then when they're on the website, if they scroll all the way down to the bottom, all the links for listening are right there. Every place you can find the podcast is available through our website. You can also listen through our website. Much love, everybody. Thank you for your support. On today's episode, I have a good friend of mine that sat down for the podcast. His name is Brandon McCollum. Brandon and I know each other. Let's see, we've known each other for quite some time. We used to train together a little bit back in the day. That was a long time ago. I don't even remember how long ago that was. But we also both come from law enforcement. Brandon just recently left a career as a correctional officer. So that's part of the reason why I wanted him to come on the podcast, so that we could talk about what that experience was like for him, talk about what not only it was like to work inside of a correctional facility, inside of a jail, but also what it was like to walk away and leave that experience. He left that career about 8 months ago, if I remember correctly, and since then he's been doing his own thing, and I find that massively inspirational. And that was another reason why I wanted him to come on the podcast and share all about that. Look, the reality is, if you are in a job that you don't like, you don't have to be in that job anymore. Brandon is a good example of that. He shared all about that experience, what it's like to leave a job that you hate, leave a job that is kind of sucking you dry and changing who you are as a person. And now the experience of working for himself. Him and his wife work together. They have their own company, Old Soul Furniture and Cabinetry. They redesign, remodel kitchens and cabinets and all that kind of stuff, furniture. The fact is, the inspirational part is you can do whatever it is that you want to do. Brandon didn't have a background in cabinetry or woodworking or construction, but he made it work and they're doing a wonderful job. You can, of course, go check out their stuff. If you can click the links that are in the show notes or go to Facebook, Instagram, just search out that Old Soul Furniture and Cabinetry and you'll be able to find their stuff. If you live locally, I highly recommend it, especially if you are looking to get your kitchen redone. Brandon's a hilarious, genuinely sweet, kind guy, and I just really enjoyed the conversation. I hope you guys do as well. And for now, sit back and enjoy a wonderful, beautiful, fun, exciting, riveting, entertaining episode of the podcast with Brandon McCollum. Here we go.
You're listening to the Energy is Love podcast.
Energy is love.
The Energy is the Love podcast.
The Energy is Love podcast.
Energy is love.
The Energy is Love podcast.
The podcast for the universe.
The Energy is Love podcast.
That's it.
Okay.
Now we're up.
Cool, man. Right on. This is badass. Hey, before we start, man, I want to tell you congratulations, man. 100. That's good.
Oh, yeah.
100 episodes. Yeah. You're looking at me like, no, 100 episodes, man. That's badass. Does this mean I'm 101?
You are 101.
Yeah.
Cool. It's way cool. It happened. We've been doing the podcast for like a year and a half. And so it took a while. But I think at the same time, that's not that long of a time to get to 100. And I'm proud of it. Like, it's way fucking cool. It's not something that I would ever think that I would have gotten that far with. And it's just taken like, just fucking keep doing it. It was funny too, because when I started podcasting, I got involved in a lot of like online groups and Facebook pages and things like that. And I was even back in the day, I was on a lot of different podcasts just as a way to kind of not just promote the podcast itself, but also kind of connect and network with other podcasters. And there's a lot of them that are no longer there. Like, there's a lot of people that
just to kind of learn?
Well, or? Yes and no. But I think, you know, it was interesting because some of those podcasts from back when I very first started that I not just would listen to, but also like knew the people that were doing them and things like that, they're no longer around. Like some people, you know, get into it and realize that.
So you made it.
I made it. Made
100, it, man. Hump. That's a milestone.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
cool.
It's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
So.
Yeah.
Tell me, what the hell have you been up to, man?
Dude, I quit. You know, I used to work for the sheriff department out here mm-hmm. as a corrections officer, man. Like, I just wanted to quit every day, you know. A while ago, my wife was working like a sales job and she hated it, man. And then she just slowly started getting into like refinishing like furniture and stuff, and she was doing good. And so finally I was like, okay, well, you can just quit. Like, I have a steady job, we can make it work, you know, just as long as you're happy, man, you know. And so she did. And then, man, 8.5 years down the road in my career, I was able to quit. It's crazy. Like, it feels so good, man.
So what are you guys doing now?
So we just refinish kitchens mostly. Like, I don't want to get all into it. Like, it's boring as hell, but like, for real, basically we just refinish, like, repaint it or whatever, you know, like, but I'm doing other side stuff like shiplap, super like fabulous right now, man. Like, and I'm doing that now. But basically, man, we're just working for ourselves, man. We just run our own business and that kind of stuff. I'm free, man. I'm free.
Yeah. That's, you know, the big part, right?
Hell yeah.
Like, not having to wake up and go to a job that you fucking hate every single day.
Dude, wake up at 3:30 in the morning every fucking day and then go to a 12-hour job that you fucking hate,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, dude, I didn't even ever want to be in law enforcement or corrections officer. I, right out of the gate, out of 18, out of high school, I started working at a warehouse job, and that's where I met my wife. And so 3.5 years in there, I was like, I got to do something. I got to get out of here. So my dad was in law enforcement, so I was like, try to go for a position there.
How long, like, did you grow up with your dad being a cop, or how old were you when he started working?
We moved out here to Tooele, and he started as a bailiff, and that was in seventh grade. So, man, I must have been like 13, 14, something okay, like that.
Yeah.
So he was a bailiff and then worked in the jail, and then he went out to the road. Yeah. So, like, he's always kind of been, you know, in it since I can really remember, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's always wanted to, but I never wanted to, man.
You never had, like, that feeling?
I needed to get the fuck out of that warehouse, like, for real. And I did. And then I just, like, the day-to-day grind, you just do what you got to do. And I was content, man, you know. 8.5 years later, like, dude, I think I enjoyed it for 3 years.
3 out of the 8.
Yeah. You know, like, and it was like, okay, well, I'm going to get promoted. I got promoted. I did everything that everyday people think you should do in a job, you know. Like, mm-hmm. And I was like, it's not worth it, man. This is crazy. Like, it got so bad. To where, like, I know it sounds fucking weird, but I like the bullshitting with the inmates day to day more than dealing with any of my peers. I swear to God, and that sounds stupid, but I used to like to go chalk it up with all the little gangsters and shit and just talk about their life and what brought them here and all this shit. You know, like, all these crazy federal inmates, all these murderers and all this kind of shit, just like talking to them. And I know it sounds like fucking weird and a little bit sadistic.
No, I remember what that felt like. Like, it was, I mean, it was fun in a sense.
Yeah, it was cool. Like, you know, the adrenaline stuff wears off when you first start, you know, and shit just becomes normal, man. And you just like, you become complacent and things are just day to day, man. And you just bullshit with those guys and it becomes cooler than talking with all the fucking officers and the guys coming in. I don't know, man. It's just a crazy environment. Everybody's got a badass attitude in there. And it's crazy, dude. I'm out, man.
What did it feel like when you left?
Dude, it's hard to describe. Like, for real, it's hard. Maybe you can help me describe it because you did the same thing. You know, you're out. You're doing your own thing now, you know?
Yeah.
Like, my wife told me after I quit that, and I had no idea, but she said that she used to have to walk on eggshells with me all the time. And I didn't realize that shit, you know? Like, I didn't ever bring home work and talk about it and all that kind of stuff because, dude, it's stressful enough. I don't want to bring it home and then... But in a way, I kind of did, man. If I'm, she's walking on eggshells and shit, like, that's not worth it.
You like, know? What did she say? Why did she feel like she had to walk on eggshells around?
Because
you?
I was just so fucking stressed out, dude. I was angry, just kind of high strung all the time. Yeah, man, I'm always on like high alert, like number nine, you know, like, man, always ready to fuck somebody up, you know, if I need mm-hmm. to, you know, something like that, you know, because you go in corrections, man. I mean, I know being on the road as a deputy and that kind of stuff is like stressful, but man, everybody's got tools and shit in there out there, you know. They have their gun, they have their tasers, they have all that kind of stuff. They do have backup. I mean, it's further away than in my situation where I have four or five guys to come help me when something goes down. But like, dude, you're in a unit full of 32 dudes that want to beat your ass all the time, man. You have to learn to talk, you have to learn to communicate with these motherfuckers, or you're the hated CO on the block and you're gonna get your ass whooped, you yeah. know. Like, you have to adjust your life. And it's just crazy. Like, everything I had to deal with on a daily basis, I thought I wasn't bringing home, but my attitude, apparently I was, you know?
Did you ever have awareness during your time there where, like, you felt like you were bringing it home, or you felt like it was influencing and changing you in some way, shape, or form?
Yeah, man. More so when I became a sergeant, man. My last three, almost 4 years there, I was a sergeant. And it's a whole new level, man. Like, that's when it really got bad. Cause it was like, I got to deal with all the stress from all the guys under me, all my whole crew, and the guys above me, you know, that was one of the worst things. And then I had to deal with 250 dudes that hate me every day, you know, like, and then some days crazy shit happens, man. And you know, like, yeah, some days I realized I had a shitty attitude when I came home, you know, like, it literally saved my sanity to have a gym here in Tooele and go to jiu-jitsu. I swear to God, like, I don't know. I don't know if I would have made it, man. We'd probably be divorced. I swear to God, if I couldn't go to the gym and choke motherfuckers.
Yeah.
I swear to God. Yeah.
Did you think about it? Like, what was the time frame as far as like, obviously it was something that you kind of in the back of your mind, you probably wanted for a long time, right? Got to get the fuck out of here. But at what point did you make the decision, and then how long before you actually left?
Well, I've been out of there for 7 months, and I would say the last year that I was there, I was telling my wife, like, either I'm going to apply for somewhere else. I don't care, man. Like, I don't know if I want to do law enforcement anywhere else, you know, because, like, it's crazy, man. You know,
it's a shit job.
It's a shit job, man. And people don't really realize it, you mm-hmm. know, like, but I mean, there's shitty fucking people in law enforcement too. So yeah. Like, whatever. But, yeah, I would say the last year that I was there, I was literally coming home every day, just joking with my wife, but real life in my head, I was like, I'm quitting this week. I'm putting my 2 weeks in. I had said it for so long that one day I just did it. I just said, fuck it. I did it. And I came home and I told my wife. And she was like, whatever, man. And I'm like, cool, here's the copy of my letter. You know, I was like, hell yeah, I did it. So, and she's like, I don't care what happens, man. You're just so stressed out. Like, a lot of people gave me shit too, like getting ready to leave and saying I was going to quit and that kind of stuff. But they're like, oh, you only have 11 years to retire, man. Man, motherfucker, are you listening to yourself? I made it 9 years almost, and I want to fucking bash dudes' heads in. Every day I come home, man, think if I had to do 11 more, dude, I will be homeless.
Yeah.
I don't care. I made decent money, man. Like, I enjoyed certain aspects of it, but dude, 11 more years, there's no fucking way.
I hear that all the time. Like, so I still talk with all my buddies and stuff like that are obviously still in there. And they're like, yeah, like, I've only got 9 more. And I'm all, 9 years is a long ass time. Like, imagine what you could do with that amount of time, right? I understand retirement. I understand putting in your time, and you don't want to waste all this, you know, years of blood, sweat, and tears that you've invested. But at the same time, like you said, like 11 years is a long ass time where you could do any number of other things that are going to make you incredibly happy and free from all the shit that you have to deal with.
For real.
And that's so hard to see, like, when you're in it, right?
Oh, dude, like, there's a quote I saw the other day. Something about, like, the best way to keep a prisoner from escaping is to not let them know that they're a prisoner. You know, it's like, man, dude, everybody in life does that. Mm-hmm. Everybody goes to a 9-to-5. I don't want to do that, man. Like, it trips me out. I'm not saying that, like, what I'm doing now after law enforcement is what I'm going to do forever, because it's not. Man, I don't want to be going in people's houses and working on kitchens and that kind of stuff. But it was my way out, man. It's my way out. I don't have a boss, you know? Like, I make my own schedule. I do my own thing. I'm going to do something else. I just don't know what it is, you know? Like, but the 9-to-5...
Was that a conscious decision too, or was that kind of like...
Absolutely.
We're just going to hope for the best and see what happens.
I was so fed up that it was like hope for the best, but no, like, I'm the type of person, man, that... I know, I told people this when I was getting ready to leave, right? They're like, what are you going to do? Like, what if it doesn't work out? I'm like, dude, if I was some polygamous dude, I had 3 wives, I had 15 kids, I was the only one working, and I quit my job or got fired... Dude, I'm the type of person that will still support every one of those motherfuckers. Dude, I'll stay up 7 days a week. I don't give a shit. I will do something else. Like, I'm not worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, like, hope for the best wasn't, like, a real thing. You know? I was like, I'm just going to do it, and it will work. Like, it's going to happen. It's not hope for the best. Like, it's done. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit.
With the nerves surrounding it. Because I was in the same boat in a sense where, I mean, when I left, it was... a massive clusterfuck, and I didn't leave on my own accord. I got fired, so
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it wasn't like I put my 2 weeks in and said I'm done with this shit. Oh. It was like, hey, guess what? You're done with this thing that you're doing.
Yeah,
and so it was massively different.
Yeah,
but I still was in that space of like, I don't want to go to work for somebody. You know, I didn't want to stay in law enforcement. I don't want to go get a 9-to-5 job, and so I had to like float through this space of like, what the fuck am I supposed to do now? What am I going to do? And the nerve surrounding it, like the anxiety of, do you know what I mean? Because we both have families and kids and trying to come up with all the shit that you have to, like, how do you fight against that?
Yeah, like, you know, and I can't say that shit might have been a little different if I had kids, you know?
Like, you don't have kids?
No, I don't have any kids.
I thought you had kids.
No, man, no, bro. Like, we've been married for, dude, this year will be 11.
And you guys don't have kids?
I swear to God, I don't have any kids.
That's nice. You got to enjoy that, I suppose.
I do.
Yeah.
And, well, she wants kids really bad. And I'm cool with kids, but, like, just, I'm the type of person, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we never really prevented it or anything. You know, like, it's just whatever, you know? So, but anyway, like, if I had kids, I could say maybe it might have been a little different, you know? But I don't know. I was done, dude.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Well, it's nice, man. I'm happy for you.
Dude, I appreciate it, man.
It's one of those things that, like, I look back and I'm like, I wouldn't ever recommend anybody getting into law enforcement, even though it has its benefits and it has, do you know what I mean? There's a lot of good stuff that came from it for me, but it's not something that I would ever say, yeah, that's a job that you should go get. No, it's really not, because it's so fucking shitty.
No, the stress, man. Stress kills you, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Stress kills your ass, man. You don't. That's a crazy job, man. I don't recommend it for anybody either, man. Like, we just finished a kitchen in Tooele, and nice lady, man. But her son's almost 21, and he's talking about getting in law enforcement. And I'm like, don't do it. Don't do it. Take it from me. I swear to God, don't do it. Do something else, man. Anything else.
Yeah. So what else besides, like you said, you know that. I mean, right now you're doing the whole, it's not reconstruction, refabrication.
Yeah, basically.
Just redoing kitchens. What else do you see yourself doing? Like, if you could tomorrow flip and do exactly what you want to do, what would that be, man?
Dude, a lot. That's the biggest thing I've been thinking about. Like, I've been telling my wife for 12 years, man, you know, like since I met her, that the moment I know what I want to do, it's done. You know, like, I'm doing it. I'm like all in when it comes to that kind of shit, you know? And to be honest, I don't know. 3 years ago, while working at the jail, man, I did start to go to school again. I wanted to be a nurse. I've always loved the medical field. Like in the jail, like I'm the first one to respond to the medical shit. Like I love that. Blood doesn't bother me. None of that shit bothers me, man. I have a weird mental thing that shit just slows down for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the medical stuff. It slows, shit slows down for me. I can think, I can tell people what they need to do. I can handle the situation. Medical stuff like fascinates me, man. But I don't know. I still always want to do something for myself. So it's tripping me out. I don't know. I'm 31 years old, man. I still don't know what I want to do. That's what freaks me out.
Yeah, but you're only 31.
Yeah, and I wasted 8.5 of my fucking years of my life.
You got a long time left.
Dude, if somehow, some way earlier in my career, I could have figured it out. Like that I was done, man, instead of just being stuck and just going to work every day. Who knows, man? Maybe I know what the fuck I want to do right now. Instead of being stressed and come home and go to work and stressed and come home and go to work, you know, like 8.5 years wasted on my life, man. Now I can actually like chill out, enjoy what I'm doing and try to figure that out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think that's the beauty of it, right? Where now you have the time and the clarity and the opportunity to like ask what the fuck is it that I want to do and then wait and see what the hell shows up for you.
Yeah. And I'm waiting, man. I'm antsy. I'm done with that shit now. And it's like, give me a sign, man. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
So give me like the top three things that you took away from your career is a positive.
Yeah.
And then like the three shittiest fucking things that you also took away from it. It's way easier to think about the shitty ones, but.
Oh, yeah. Like for real. Well, definitely, like, I was more of a quiet dude, you know, like, confidence for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, having to just, even days, like, you're like, fuck, this sucks, man. Like, in crazy situations, you know, you have to man up. It doesn't matter, you know, like, it teaches you to be, like, crazy confident in weird situations that other people aren't, you know? So, like, that one's definitely a positive, you know? More responsibility, you know, like, it's not just like a 9-to-5, like I'm a cashier guy, you know, and if I ring something up fucking wrong, I get, you know, like I'm in charge of 250 people's lives, you know, like, so huge responsibility type thing, you know. I don't know if there's another positive, man. You know? Oh, no, but like I was like a instructor in a couple things, you know, so like getting up in front of a room of 50 people, you know, used to fucking scare the shit out of me, but yeah. You know, like. And it still makes me nervous, but it's like, I can do that now, you know, like, I guess it kind of gave me that skill set, you know.
I think the confidence thing, like you were talking about where,
yeah,
like you don't have another option. You have to handle whatever happens.
It doesn't matter. You're in it.
Yeah.
You have to, you're the guy.
Yeah. And yeah. I think that bleeds over. Do you know what I mean? I think about that all the time where sometimes I'll get nervous about something that's coming up or I have to go, you know. Talk to somebody. I mean, it's anything that shows up in life where we get nervous about doing. And then I'll like stop and tell myself, I'm like, really? Like, this is what, you know, I'm worried about.
This is what's tripping you out. Yeah. And you've done all these other things. Yeah.
And so it's like, I can do this. You know what I mean? I can move through that or handle any situation because of all the shit that you had to handle beforehand.
Dude, people don't realize that.
No.
You know? And it gives you that skill set, man. I agree. Like, it changes your mind, you know?
Has your mind started to change back yet?
No.
Dude,
I don't know, man. I don't want to call that shit PTSD because I don't have that, but it's like.
It takes a long time, I think, for that to happen.
Yeah, I think it does, man. I thought like 3 months down the road, I'd be like, don't even think about it anymore. Dude, I still have dreams about that place, mm-hmm. man. Dreams of me going back, like. Getting in a fight with my boss, not even like the inmates, man. I was like getting in a fight with my boss, you know, like it's crazy.
Yeah. I don't think people understand either. Like, cause what we're talking about, like with your, like, I don't think they really realize how people in law enforcement move through every single day.
Yeah.
Where you completely shift and change how you look at the world around you how you move through that world.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think people understand that aspect of it.
No, you become accustomed to seeing the worst of people, you know, even if they're not bad people, man, like people have bad times, mm-hmm. you know, and that shit just becomes normal to you. Like it doesn't faze you anymore. Like people trying to commit suicide and, you know, like coming in just strung out on drugs or super aggressive or, you know, everybody has bad times in their life, man. And you see all that. You know, I've seen so many people I used to know in high school and good people, man, like they just had a bad day, man. Like, and you see all the shitty parts. That's what sucks.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, when do you ever see something good? You don't. What the hell, man?
Yeah.
You know, but I have a different look on how to do that job and everything, man. I still have a Facebook. I know it's going to sound stupid, but I have a Facebook message from a dude that was an inmate. He was there for like 3 months and he found me on Facebook or something like that. And he sent me this huge message just thanking me, like how I was the only one to treat him with respect and all this kind of stuff. Like, I think that's what probably kept me around a while too. Is just the way I treated people. I always had respect from people. You know, I was always the guy to like calm the situation down because I had a good rapport with all these people, you know. But I don't know, man.
Why do you think some guys go the other way? Because you see it, right? Like you see the other officers that think yep. they have to go in there and just be ginormous fucking assholes the entire time.
And that kills me, man. And when I was a sergeant, man, I used to correct that shit hard because that's not... Everybody is a person, man. Whether they're in there for this or that, it doesn't matter. Like, our job's not to judge them. They're in there because we're supposed to keep them safe while they're going through that process, apparently, mm-hmm. you know? But there are those assholes, man. And it sounds super cliche, but I think 60%, 70% of those type people are the guys that grew up, I don't want to say picked on or whatever, but like always wanted to be that law enforcement person, you know? Like I see a lot of that. Like I used to ask my guys, like, when did you know you wanted to be a cop? Or is it just like, you just did it like me to get out, you know? Yeah. Like I was open about that. I was like, no, man, I never. They're like, you're so good at your job. Dude, it's because I adapt well. Like, I never wanted to do this. Mm-hmm. I didn't. But I think it's just the way people look at things, man. Like, I don't want to say that they think they're better than them or anything like that, but it's like, it's usually the person that wants to be the cop their whole life. And they're always on the right side of the law. I wasn't a good kid, man. Like, I got in tons of fights, man.
Yeah.
I got in fights with some of the inmates I used to see, you know, like, I don't know. I think just my life experiences made me better at that, you know, made me one of the better officers. And maybe some of the other guys, the other officers never had those kind of situations, you know, never been on the other side type thing, you know?
Yeah. I think it's also a fear thing too.
Where I never thought of that.
Do you know what I mean? Where they're overcompensating because they're really fucking afraid.
That's crazy.
Of the environment
I never thought of
that they're in.
Yeah.
So then they have to wear this big fucking fakeness of being a badass and all these kind of different things, you know, just really as a way to like, don't fucking kill me, please. I'm scared shitless.
In your head. Yeah. But then out on the outside, you got a big old puff chest and you're like, I'm going to beat your ass if you don't go back to your cell type thing. And you're thinking in your head like, oh, he's going to fuck me up. Oh, dude, I never even thought of that. Like for real.
Yeah. It makes sense, huh?
Yeah, it does actually a lot.
I used to kid, like it used to crack me up too. Like you said, you weren't a good kid growing up. I mean, do you know what I mean? Like you fucked around and did a bunch of stuff. And it used to, because I would pull people over that had been drinking. Mm-hmm. And I drink and I'm well aware of the levels of intoxication that can happen, right?
Yeah.
And I would pull people over that had been drinking and it was apparent that they were fine to be driving. Like it's not against the law to have consumed alcohol and get behind a vehicle.
Right.
And so I'd pull them out and maybe run them through tests or not even go through that much effort and be like, yeah, they're fine. And then I'd have other officers that I worked with who don't drink and who had never drunk before. And so they don't really understand the effects of alcohol.
That's real life.
And pull somebody out and run it through tests and like bound and determined that that person's going to jail. And I'm like, dude, like he had a fucking drink. There's absolutely nothing wrong with
it. He had a beer, dude.
Yeah.
Anybody can do that with dinner.
Yeah. And that cracks me up. Like, I think that's one of the things, and that's probably something that's unique, I think, probably to Utah in some sense, because my guess is
I think a
lot of fucking other places, you don't have officers that don't know what it's
like. Have those experiences.
Yeah.
For real. That's real life. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. That haven't had a beer or something like that or ever been fucked up.
Yeah. Dude, seriously. Like, that's 70% of the people I used to work with, man. Never tasted a drop of alcohol in their life. Yeah, but they went on a mission. Not saying anything's bad about that, but like you're lacking all the other experiences in your life that are detrimental to what you do. Like you have to have those experiences to deal with the situations, you know?
Yeah, I used to think like, because if you've got a taser, you know, I mean, technically, depending on what agency you work for, you don't have to get tased in order to carry it. But 99% of the time, like, you fucking have been tased if you're going to carry a taser.
Hell yeah, I've been tased.
And that's a good thing, I think, right?
It is.
Because you got to understand what the fuck you're using and the capacity for pain that it has.
Yep.
But I used to think the same thing in regards to like alcohol. Like, if I'm going to go out and arrest somebody for consumption of alcohol, for DUI or something like that, I should have a pretty good understanding of what it means to be drunk, or at least the effects of it. Because I think it makes me better suited to do my job. But then you can like take that to the extreme where I don't have to experience every crime.
Yeah, like I don't have to smoke the fucking eight ball, you know, to know that this dude's fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, like.
But there's some happy medium, I think, that's lacking.
No, there is, for sure. I agree. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Your wife's super happy, obviously, though.
Dude, everything's changed, man. It's just better all the way around. Like, I know my mental state from being there hasn't changed, and I still think about it all the time. But, like, our relationship and everything's, you know, good, better. You know, it's good. It's been nothing but positive since leaving there.
What do you think she would say were the biggest like changes that she has seen in you in the last few months?
I'm not stressed all the time, like you said, or like I said, that I'm walking on eggshells, or she's walking on eggshells, you know? Like, I don't want to do that to her, man. Like, she's the other part of my life, you know? Like, that's not fair to her, you know? Yeah. So I would absolutely agree if she said, you know, the stress factor and me just not being an asshole when I don't realize it, you know? Like, absolutely, I think she would agree if I told her that. Yeah, for real. I'm not saying like I used to walk around like just being a total dick all the time, but like some days I'm sure I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was an asshole for sure. I still am an asshole.
I mean, I'm an asshole too, but like in other ways now, you know, like I'm always that guy that's going to tell you to shut the fuck up. If I don't know you, dude, you know, like I just don't put up with bullshit, you know, like it just, with me, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know? So, but yeah, I don't know. Other positives, I don't know, man. That's just a huge one. It's seriously crazy. It's huge.
Do you ever see yourself going back?
No.
No.
No. I've had a few people try to recruit me, like Davis County, a couple other places, you know? I'm like, I'm not interested, man. You know, I've had like, a new sheriff that's running or something like that message me and be like, hey man, I'm sorry to hear you left, but would you consider coming back if I made it, you know? I'm like, no.
I'm good. Fuck no.
Yeah, I want to say fuck no, but no will do, you know. Yeah,
no, I'm happy for you, man. It's way cool.
It's crazy. It's crazy different. It's crazy.
So tell me, how long have you been because you brought up jiu-jitsu earlier and it was like a life-saving thing for you in regards to the outlet and shit like that.
The outlet, but man.
How long have you been training?
Consistently, probably, I don't know, almost 6 years probably. Just consistently. Like some of the first times I rolled were with you.
Was it?
I swear to God, just a little bit before that.
Yeah.
You know?
And then like, why did you, like what... This is probably a dumb answer because it fucking is obvious. But what about training and jiu-jitsu and MMA and shit like that appealed to you? Like, what do you remember back in the day when you're like, yeah, I want to fucking do that?
Yeah. So honestly, out of high school, like I never wrestled. I never did anything like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't the sports dude in high school.
I played tennis.
Well, that's a sport. Bro, that's a sport.
It is a sport.
I mean, I wouldn't have played it probably, but it's a sport. But I was the kid that used to get in fights, right? So out of high school, family and all that kind of stuff, we would watch the local fight shows on TV. It was like every Saturday or something like that. And they're like, hey man, you should do that. And I'm like, psh, all right. So I had a few fights, didn't train, didn't do a fucking thing, man, nothing. I just wanted to fucking punch dudes in the head. And then I like started to realize you need to train a little bit, you know, like, oh shit. Like, it's just not just like a street fight, dude. This is like, people know what the fuck they're doing. Man, my very first fight was some wrestler kid. He was about my age. We were 18. And dude, I went all three rounds, but I just wanted to stand up with that dude and just punch that dude in the mouth. And he just took me down and took me. So I lost to like a 3-round decision. And it was like, I was still young enough to be like, oh, well, I'll get the next one. You know, like, and I won and lost, but I never trained until I got a little bit older, you know, but that's how I got in jiu-jitsu. I'm not like the cliche people that are like, yeah, I watched UFC 1 and like Hoyce Gracie and all that kind of shit. Like, dude, I never watched UFC. I don't know anything. Like, I just like to, dude, I didn't even know all the rules when I got out of high school and to go in the cage and fight. I didn't know the rules. I just wanted to punch dudes, right? So I can't say that I was the guy that like watched it my whole life and that's what I wanted to do. It was literally after my fights a couple of years that I was like, all right, I could probably learn something, you know? And then I got in there and addicted, man, crazy addiction. Like getting in there, getting choked a million times before you can choke somebody. Like, it's crazy. Like, I love it. It's my life.
It gets you, huh?
Yeah. It's the only thing I do now. Like,
yeah.
It's like, if I have a priority in my life, it's to make it to class, you know, like, it's just what I love.
Mm-hmm.
So
6 years, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Did you ever get to use any of it?
Like in work?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, not like most of the ground stuff, but a lot of the control aspect of mm-hmm. it, you know, like a lot of like the Kimuras and key locks and that kind of stuff to place handcuffs and that kind of stuff. Instead of just like constantly like pulling against some other dude, pulling on another arm and all that kind of shit. I'm like, check this out. You know, like, and I used to be a defensive tactics instructor. And this, and for the listeners, if they don't know what that is, like the arrest control tactics that you learn when you go to the academy. That's what I taught. But half that shit sucks.
More than half of it.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad we're being honest about it. 98% of that shit sucks.
It does suck.
And so I would always incorporate what I learned because as a agency out of the, like, instead of the Department of Corrections, like the state of Utah type agency, it's a county, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I can teach their curriculum and add a little bit of my own, right? As long as I stay within the realm of what they're doing, right? So I always added my own shit and people loved it, man.
Yeah.
But it comes from jiu-jitsu, man. That arrest control tactics stuff sucked.
Yeah, it's all terrible. I hated DT.
Oh my God.
Because it was a fucking joke. Do you know what I mean? When I went through, I went through the academy when I started working at the jail.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, at that point, I had trained for a long time. Like, do you know what I mean? Probably like 7 years or something like that. And we get in there and I'm like, this is fucking retarded. Like, nothing makes sense. You're not going to control anybody doing any of this stuff.
Serious.
It's all a joke.
Like, catch this punch.
Yeah.
Like, what? Dude, I'm going to get out of the way of that punch.
Yeah.
I'm going to tackle that motherfucker. I'm going to do something else, but I'm not catching it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to catch that shit.
I think the biggest thing for me was like the body awareness that you get.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or like when you're engaged in anything like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just have an awareness of like where you're at, where they're at. And
yeah, man, I used to love that.
Yeah, I did too.
Having the confidence of just like going in there one-on-one, not waiting for backup. And I know like I wasn't supposed to do that, but there was times I didn't give a shit. Like, it didn't matter, you know? And I was cool. I was good on the other end, you know?
Yeah.
You know? But that didn't come from the arrest control tactics, man. That came from jiu-jitsu, you know? Like, my passion for it, like a love for it, like doing it daily, you know? So
how do you think that's changed you?
I would say the confidence thing again too, like being able to handle yourself, you know, knowing that, like, I think, well, first off, I never like picked on anybody in high school or in school or anything like that. That's not why I got in fights. 98% of the fights I got in was because I was protecting somebody from being bullied. And so now, knowing what I know I don't have to whoop someone's ass, you know, like, or get my ass whooped, you know, like, whatever. It gives you that level of confidence when you're in a confrontation, if it goes that far, to handle yourself, but to try to talk your way out of it and not need to fight, you know, like, it's not that big of a deal, man. You don't need to choke this dude out. Like, I would like to in the end, but I don't need to. So like before jiu-jitsu, I just like, it don't matter. We're going to fight, you know?
Yeah. You're a humble guy though. Like I think
I would like that, to think so.
I think you are. Do you know what I mean? Like we've trained together a handful of times over the years. Oh, yeah. And yeah. I think you're a very, like you're the type of guy that I like training with and like rolling with because you're not an asshole.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'd like to think I'm that guy.
Yeah. You know? And I think jiu-jitsu does a really good job of weeding those guys out.
Oh, yeah. Taking the assholes right out. Mm-hmm. For the most part. You still always have the gym dick, something stupid. Yeah.
It's humbling, though.
Absolutely,
it's incredibly humbling. I remember when I first started training, rolling with guys that were like, you know, not just smaller than me, but like significantly smaller than me, 145 pounds or something like that. Yeah. And I could do nothing.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
There
it's
was
crazy.
Literally nothing that I could do to fucking like touch them, hurt them, submit them. That was all a fucking joke. It was just survive for so long.
Yeah, that's real life, man. That's not a joke. That's real.
You didn't grow up out here?
Junior high up.
Yeah.
You know, I went to elementary and stuff out in like West Valley and Taylorsville and Kearns.
Oh, still Utah.
Yeah, though. Still Utah. I mean, I was born in Montana, but like I didn't, only the first year of my life. So it's not like I remember that shit. So yeah, I was raised in Utah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm excited for you.
Oh, dude, I'm excited for me. I'm excited. You're excited for me. Yeah, man. For real.
I think you got to, when I say you got to figure out what you want to do, I think that's bullshit. Like, I think that all the time people are always like, you have to figure out your why, or you got to find out, you know, what your purpose in life is. And one of the things that I think, and you're a good example of it, where you have a career, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so easy to listen to society, and society will tell you that, you know, if you get yourself into that position, like you have to ride that shit out and you have to be in that because that's the goal. Like the goal is to find the job that you like, the job that you can make, you know, a living at, and you can support a family at, and then you just, you know, retire from that and then you're golden.
And I'm not cool with that.
No. And I think that idea and that concept and that whole belief system is so like outdated and broken.
Oh my God.
Where it worked for our parents possibly, and it worked for their parents and the generations in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think there's absolutely anything wrong with doing a bunch of shit that you're passionate about.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All the time, where, you know, you can remodel kitchens now, but you can also incorporate, like you said, you're doing other shit at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that's the stuff that I get really excited about.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out what is it that I really like to do and then just do that. And if I happen to make money at it, great. That's a good thing.
Right.
But like you're lucky that you don't have kids.
I totally know. Like I think about that all the time, and I tell my wife that all the time. But it's like, I mean, she really wants kids and stuff, but some of that freedom goes away.
Not some of it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
A lot of it goes away. And I guess it's a mindset too, because you always think like, oh, you know, we couldn't be doing this if we had kids. Yeah. We couldn't be doing that. And those are excuses.
Yeah, really, you could.
Yeah, you could.
You wanted to.
Shit's way harder, but you could.
Right.
But you guys are still young too. I didn't realize you were that young. I thought you were a little bit older than that.
I'm 31. She's 34.
You still have kids.
Yeah.
Plenty of time.
I know. I tell her that all the time. She's like, but it's been 11 years, almost 12 years. Like... Yeah, I know.
What's your holdup? You're afraid, man.
No, it like, honestly, like, we've done some testing and that kind of stuff, and it's just like, there's only a couple ways to do it. I just haven't pulled the trigger in committing to that yet.
Yeah.
And that probably makes me a horrible husband, but look, I just quit. You know, like, let's figure something out for a while, you know, and then we can do it, because I will and I want to, you know. But on the same hand, like, we'd never prevent it or anything like that. So if it happens tomorrow, dude, I'm happy. I'm down. I want a little me running around kicking dudes in the head. Like, I'm cool with that. But now that I'm done with that shit, I want to like have a little bit of time, you know, and then we can do it.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't think there's ever a good time to have kids.
And I think that too.
People, you know, it's like, well, once we get everything squared away, and
yeah,
I think there's definitely worse times than not, right?
Yeah. Like, oh, shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
But there's never like this perfect ideal situation where you're like, okay, we have everything in line. our life is exactly where it needs to be. Now we're going.
It's never
going to
happen
right now.
Yeah, I agree.
No, people don't function that way. I don't think.
No, I agree.
Did your family have a hard time when you left? Did you get a lot of shit or anything, or were they pretty supportive?
No. Again, man, they're like, especially my dad, he's got like 3 years to retire, you know, and he's like, I thought you were just talking about it, man, and you did it. I am happy for you. That, he's a little bit older, right, and he's only got 3 years left. So for him to go to a different agency and where he grew up, and that's what he wanted to do his whole life, you know. Like, even though he hates it now, it still kind of makes sense to, at 51 years old or 50 years old, to, you know, hang out for the extra three, you know. Like, he's a sergeant and stuff. He's got it kind of easy, and he can just coast if he wants to, even though he's not that kind of a guy. But, like, no, he was super happy. He was extremely happy. Him and my mother both still to this day tell me, like, dude, you look just different, man. It was weird because I had, like, this shitty beard forever. I know I have a little bit right now, but like I had like this freedom thing going on, like a long ass hair, like a horrible beard. I've never grown a beard in my life, man. And they're like, you look good. And it was just because I just was different, you know, not because my shitty new haircut, you know, like, but I was free, man. Like, and they're happy. They're pumped. They don't care what I do. Like, as long as I'm happy, man.
Yeah. Your dad obviously has to see the, because, I mean, if he's been in as long as he has, and, you know, he's no fool. He understands the realities of what it is and what it fucking does and how difficult it is. So that's cool that he's supportive, man.
Yeah, he's absolutely supportive. Like, the moment I told him I put my 2 weeks in, like, it was still a few days. It was like a week in, I think, after I'd put it in. And he's like, what? Okay, cool. All right, man. Like, right on. And I'm like, well, thanks for not punching me or something, you know, like not having something else lined up, you stupid bastard, you know. Like, he was pumped, man. Seriously. Yeah. It was cool. Like, I had so much support. It's not even funny. Like, except for the people that I worked for. When I put in my 2 weeks, those guys didn't even talk to me. I didn't get a thank you for, man, look, I don't want to sound cocky or anything, but I was like the next closest thing to a model employee you could have. In almost 9 years, I'd never been written up. I was always the volunteer. I instructed in several different things. You know, like, I got along with everybody. Like, I made life easier for tons of people, you know. I said fuck a lot. But that's cool, man. Like, whatever. Like, it's me, you know. Like, I toned it down when I had to. But the only people I didn't have support from were the people above me. Like, literally, not one word was said to me, not a thank you, not anything. And then I was gone, and then still haven't heard a fucking thing. And I was bitter at first, but I'm cool. Yeah. I'm cool with it. Yeah.
That makes sense though, right? Like, that's the mentality. That's the way that they operate, I think.
I think so. And it's bullshit, man. Cause man, I walked past all those guys and my last day, I got the box in my hand, just like in the movies with my shit in it, you know, and I'm walking out and no eye contact, nothing. And I'm like, fuck all you. I'm out. See ya.
Yeah.
It was surreal. It was the weirdest thing, like driving away from that place. It was like, I'm never going back there again. Like, it's weird.
Hopefully you never have to go back there
again. I know. I always say that, like, hey man, now that I'm done, you might see me. Yeah.
Yeah. That would suck.
No, it's not going to happen, but I always joke about that.
Yeah. And you said you still dream about it.
Dude, I can't stop.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. It's fucking me up sometimes, you know?
Yeah. I did for a very long time would have, and they're always fucked up. Like, they're always, do you know what I mean? Nothing's ever going right. It's not like you have a dream of like your regular average everyday experience, right? Just a normal day on the job. It's always worst case fucking scenario stuff. And it's always backwards. And I haven't had one in a really long time, but every now and then I have one. The weird thing for me was because I had them for a very long time where I'd have these dreams.
Yeah.
And then they started to transition to where I would have the dreams, but in the dreams, I wasn't a cop anymore. And so it was like I was still in the situation or whatever was taking place or like, you know, still doing something, but I had the awareness that I wasn't a cop and I wasn't in uniform and I had to like borrow somebody's gun or something like that because I was just there.
Right.
And yet I still had to do stuff. And then even that has faded to where like it's weird. Like I'll have every now and then one that'll come through and I'm like, that's fucking weird.
But how long does that fucking take, man? I'm sick of this shit.
It takes a while.
7 months, man. Yeah. I'm sick of this shit.
Yeah. I don't think it'll ever go away. I think you'll, and like the whole, cause that's the other thing too, we were talking about earlier where like, I don't walk around any way that I used to anymore. Right.
Yeah.
Like I got rid of everything. I don't carry anything on me anymore when I'm out and about. Mm-hmm. I almost have to consciously remind myself like, oh, maybe this should be a circumstance that I should start paying attention. I was in San Francisco and I was staying in like downtown some shitty fucking shithole area.
Yeah.
Like it was horrible.
Okay.
Right.
Well, it's like one of the number one homeless rate or whatever from the United States or something. Yeah. So and I believe you.
So there weren't just tons of homeless people everywhere, but obviously everybody was selling shit. You know, you couldn't walk out the door without somebody trying to sell something to you. It was just a terrible fucking area. And I realized, because I'm like walking back and forth from where I need to go, and I went down to the store and I'm walking back and everybody was fucking hounding me. And all over my shit and trying to talk to me and, you know, trying to get shit from me and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
And then suddenly I like realized like, oh, I look like this fucking person who doesn't belong there. You know, I'm not like a resident of San Francisco. Those people fucking look, you know, because they're used to walking out every day. So I'm sticking out like a sore thumb. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I realized that, I'm like, oh, I got to turn it back on.
Right.
Like I got to put all this shit back on.
Yeah.
And then it all fucking stopped. Like as soon as I walked out with that mentality and that like perspective of like, they could sense it almost. It was weird. Like I'm sure my demeanor changed in some way, shape or form. Yeah. And I just started moving through that space differently. But it was really bizarre for me to think like.
It's crazy how you can just turn that back on.
Yeah.
It's cool.
It is cool.
Kind of.
And it's handy. But it was like the neat thing was the realization of that's not how I naturally move through life anymore.
Right.
And that made me feel good. Because.
Yeah, man, I can't wait till that happens. Like, I still get it.
Yeah.
You know, and I do.
The fact is people are nice. Like, not everybody's a fucking asshole.
I know. And that's, you were talking about some of the negative things, man. And that's kind of where you start to believe, you know, like that 98% of the people you run into are just going to be dickheads or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I can't. I mean, it's gone away a little bit, but I can't wait for it to be gone, you know.
It's so hard.
Yeah, that's crazy. You just put that back on and like shit changes around you, man. It's important, like your demeanor, no matter what you do in your life, like it shapes what happens around you, you know? Like it's crazy, like what happens in this situation or that situation. Like it's all about your attitude and your demeanor, you know, the way you present yourself. That's crazy.
It's really weird, like, because I'll find myself walking a lot of times when I'm like flying around everywhere and going through airports, I just have my headphones on and I'm listening to stuff. So I'm completely oblivious to what the fuck's going on around me. I'm just moving through the crowds of people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's so different.
Like it wouldn't be.
No, fuck no.
No,
there's
way
no way
hell,
I would have
huh?
had headphones on. Mm-hmm. I would have been like on point the entire fucking time, especially like in airports where
for real
tons of fucking craziness. You never know what's going to happen.
That's real life, man. Yeah. I know. I get it.
And now I'm just like, I don't fucking care. I'm just going to sit over here
just
with my
whatever,
headphones on.
Dude. Like, just another dude.
Yeah. And nothing's happened, right? That's the other thing, too. I think cops always convince themselves that, like, it's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time.
That's
I've
got
to be ready, right? Mm-hmm. At any point, shit could pop off and I have to be fucking ready. I'm like, yeah. I mean, it does happen like that, you know, because we see it and we hear about
we do it. Yeah. But
the fact is, like, outside of being a cop in my regular everyday life, my entire fucking life, I've never had anything crazy fucking happen.
Yeah, life's not really like that. You just become so accustomed to it and that's normal. Mm-hmm. And then you just take that. That's real life, man. That's true. Yeah.
So I just relax.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the biggest.
I'm still trying to learn to do that.
But. Yeah. That's the whole thing that we were talking about, like staying in that mental like state of mind consistently all the time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It undoubtedly does shit to you.
Yeah. And I can't wait for that shit to wear off, man. I just want to chill and enjoy, you know, like it's crazy.
You don't think you have any like PTSD, even if you don't necessarily want to label it like that?
I don't like to label it like that, man. But like, yeah, like we see shit weird. We deal with situations that are super stressful that we become accustomed to, you know. Yeah, I handle myself differently, you know, even not being in there, you know, like, and I always think about shit. Like you said, like, you always got to be on point because something's going to happen, man. I think about that shit all the time. All the time, you know? And like I said, I hope that goes away a little bit because I don't want to be on at a fucking level 7, you know, forever, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know. I know that sounds like the fucking definition of like partial PTSD or some bullshit when you ask me, like, do I think it is? Like, no, but I don't know, man.
No.
I don't know.
So how do you combat it?
Dude, I try to just shut my brain off, man. But like I was telling you before the podcast, man, like I'd love to go sit in one of those float tanks that you do. That's so badass. I've heard so many benefits and all that kind of stuff that those things do. But I can't shut my brain off for more than 2 minutes, man. Like it's so difficult for me. And I'm sure with practice and all that kind of stuff, I would be able to. But like... that's what I do. I try to shut that shit off, man. Especially now that I'm not in it anymore. I got to try, you know?
What happens when you try to shut it off?
Well, I'll go blank for a little bit. Like, I suppose you're supposed to, you know? Like, and just chill, man. But I'm like, I just feel like I'm always high anxiety, that kind of thing, you know? Like, what's next? You know, like, going through... it sounds stupid, man. Like, going through the mall or something like that. You know, like... you can't just chill. Just who gives a shit, man? You're just another person in the mall. Yeah, go buy your shit, you know? But like, you're like looking at dudes, like scoping shit out, you know? Like, I don't know, dude. I don't know. I just try to shut it off. And then like, you just have thoughts come back in, you know? Like, it's like sounds like I got another dude in my head when I say it like that. But no, it's like, I just can't shut my brain off. I'm always thinking, man, like, last night before this podcast, man, I don't even know how much sleep I got, man. I was just like thinking, man, just like all night. Like, it's crazy. Like, yeah.
Have you ever tried meditating?
Yeah, a little bit here and there. Like, I can't do it without some like background noise,
mm-hmm.
something like that. Like, you know, all the YouTube channels and all that kind of stuff. Like, that's the only time I can kind of sit there for like 5 minutes, you know? And like, I don't do it all the time, so I'm sure like with practice I'd get better, but like that's the only I can't.
So what does it look like when you do it? Like when you try, what does it look like? What do you do
in my head, like physically?
Yeah, that, like, take me through your process of what it is that,
dude,
you do.
I just like to try and just not think about anything, right? Just shut my brain off, just chill, like have nothing else going in the background other than that, you know, that sound or whatever it is, you know, and just try to focus on the sound and keep my mind blank. But it's like, I'll be a minute in and it's like, oh, well, I probably should go check the mail, or, you know, it's like, shut the fuck up and just do this, you know? And it's like, I'm just, maybe I'm weird, or maybe that's just how it is unless it's practice, you know? Like, I don't know.
I think that's 100% normal.
Okay, because I'm like, dude, I'm so like high strung in my head. Like, I talk a lot anyway, man, but if you can hear the shits in my head, dude, I don't know.
Yeah, I think the fact is, like, for me,
yeah.
I don't think we can ever shut our brain off.
Right.
And so that mind chatter that takes place, that stuff that just continually runs regardless, like, no matter how often you tell it to shut the fuck up,
yeah,
you know, it'll go quiet for 5 seconds and then be like, hey, motherfucker. Like, I got serious shit I want to talk about.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, I don't want to talk right now. We're trying to meditate.
I'm trying,
like,
to chill.
It's like, okay, I'll be quiet. Hey, did you remember that we've got to do this thing later today?
Dude, that's exactly.
Yeah. And you can't shut that off, right?
Yeah.
And so stop trying to shut it off.
Okay.
Because the fact is, like, you just can't. It's not like, if you think about your brain as a computer that is continually on all the time, right?
Yeah.
And the only time your fucking brain shuts off is when you're dead. Like,
yeah,
that's the only time your fucking brain's going to stop working.
Yeah.
So the rest of the time, it's going to be continually running. And so you have to separate yourself. We have enough awareness in our consciousness that we can, you know, even if it's just fooling ourselves, to look at it as this separate entity of like, okay, that's going to sit over there and do what it does, but I'm going to separate from it and just do this.
Right.
And so when it continues to do what it does, which it does naturally, you just focus on trying to ignore it, not trying to stop it, not trying to control it. Just focus on it's going to do what it do, and I'm just going to sit over here and focus, right?
Right.
And so it's no longer about it's no longer about trying to shut your brain off or stop that mind chatter. It's just about letting go in the process of, and the other thing too, like meditation is all about awareness, right? Mm-hmm. And presence and being in the moment and shit like that. And so you're actually practicing all of those things when you recognize that your brain is firing back up and continuing to go.
Yeah.
So you're having conscious awareness of what your brain is doing, even though it's not doing what you want it to do.
Yeah.
So the moment that you have that awareness of like, okay, it's firing back up and it's running through the lists of whatever the fuck's going on, that's a good thing. That's the awareness. Right. Now I'm just going to refocus my attention and bring, whether it's the stuff that you're listening to, or a lot of times I'll always just go back to breath and breathing.
Just
focus on like, because I think when people say that in like, in the context of like meditation or mindfulness, like go back to your breath. Like, what the fuck does that mean? Right. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm fucking breathing all the time.
Yeah, motherfucker, I'm breathing or I'll be dead.
And so I try to remember like, not just going back to my breath, but feeling physically my lungs expand and bringing in as much oxygen as I can. Yeah. So I'm, rather than the subconscious way that we breathe all the time, I try to consciously breathe with it. Yeah. So I'm breathing in, expanding everything, filling my body up, feeling my breath as it kind of comes in and goes out and comes in and goes out. And for me, like that helps.
And so I've tried something like that, like the breath thing, but then I start counting my breaths. Mm-hmm. I go get like... See, that's why I was giving a number for it. Like, I'll get five in. Why do I have a number for it already? Why can't I just concentrate on my breath, you know? Like, and then I'll start thinking. And then I'm like, start back at zero. No, don't start at zero at all. Just focus on your breath, you know? Yeah. Like,
It's a good thing, though.
Yeah.
If you can, you know, practice it and continue to practice it.
Yeah.
I think it's incredibly beneficial.
I've heard
about that.
I've heard, man. That's what they say. It's just like my brain's crazy. I just feel that way, you know?
Well, think about this. Think about jiu-jitsu. This I know undoubtedly you fucking know what I'm talking about. Because there's times when you're rolling that you're not really thinking about fucking anything.
No, dude. I do that all the time.
Like you're just in this happy fucking flow state where you're not thinking
about.
I'm
just reacting.
Exactly.
Just go.
And you don't have to consciously think about, because you've been training long enough that you can fucking roll where you don't have to think about what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're just moving and flowing in response to what that person's doing.
Yeah.
And that's a really happy state.
Yeah, dude. It's some of the best times, man, at night. Like, that's why it's so stress relieving, you know, for me. Like, 60% of my roles are like that. Like, honestly, I just do it. I don't think about the moves. I don't think about this or that. I just do it. I just react. And my mind is really blank. Like, seriously. Until, like, you get that moment where somebody does something else and then I just start talking shit, like, you know, like, or saying something stupid, like, I'm like, well, you motherfucker, why'd you try that? Or something, you know, but other than that, man, like 60% of my roles, no joke, are just like mindless, like motion, like no mind, like for real, like just blank.
Yeah.
Just do it.
And that's meditation.
And I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the only other time that happens with me is when I listen to music.
So do that.
Yeah.
Like tell yourself, rather than thinking about like, I have to sit down and set aside this time and I'm going to fucking meditate. The fact is you're doing it on a regular basis, consistently. Yeah. Just bring awareness to that fact where like when you're fucking rolling, you're meditating.
Yeah.
Because your mind is.
I mean, I think that too when I'm rolling.
Yeah. That's the reality of it, right? Because your brain is going to that same place that it would if you're sitting.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Listening to some guided meditation.
Well, then shit, I meditate all the time.
Fuck yeah.
Craig, I do.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You can see the effects of it.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I'm so happy. Man, that's the happiest I'm at, like, most of my life. When I'm doing that, like, it's blank and I just don't got to worry about a fucking thing.
Yeah.
Just do it.
When's the last time you fought? Was it a long time ago?
Oh, yeah. Like, actually, like, in the cage?
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, a competition or, like...
Yeah.
Like, dude, I didn't train jiu-jitsu, like, So 21. I was 21 with my last fight. It was just barely turned 21. I think my fight was in January, and my birthday's in December.
Do you ever want to fight again?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, because I know how to fight now. I didn't know how to fight before. I knew how to like throw my hands in an awkward motion and try to beat somebody up. Yeah, I want to fight again. I always think about it.
What's stopping you?
I don't know. Like, things are different now. Like, when I used to fight, like, you could fight every weekend, right? And only your first fight was an amateur fight.
Mm-hmm.
The commission has changed now. So, you know, I didn't even know, but I guess apparently I had 4 pro fights and 1 amateur fight. Apparently. I don't know. But so the rule is in the state of Utah is if you've had any pro fights, you stay as a pro, right? So I'm thinking, like, my mind is like, okay, well, I used to fight, right? But not as a pro. But I did, apparently. And so now I have to go in as a pro with guys that have had 10 amateur fights and how many ever pro fights, right? So it's like, I know how to fight now, and I've been training for a while, right? But like, it's different, you know? The MMA has changed 1,000% since I was a little punk kid being able to fight every weekend if I wanted to, you know? Like, people are legit now, dude. Like, it's crazy. But I don't think that's what's so much stopping me is like, I enjoy it and I really want to fight again. I do. I really want to fight again. But I want to get to the right weight class and that kind of stuff. Like, I have a tournament coming up for jiu-jitsu at the end of the month on the 24th. And I'm kind of cutting weight right now to make a weight class. And if I can do that and then maintain that weight, I'm likely going to fight again. So it's about maintaining. I've lived such a, I wouldn't say sedentary, because I do jiu-jitsu 5 days a week, you know, 4 days a week, even when I was working at the jail. But I've lived an unhealthy lifestyle, you know, not consciously thinking about what I'm eating. I drink too much beer. Man, I love beer, you know. Like, I weighed in 3 weeks just getting ready for this competition, I've lost almost 14 pounds. You know, like, just training for this competition, you know.
What are you trying to cut to?
Well, I need to get to 165, under 165. But the last time I was under 165 was right out of high school when I was fighting. I fought at 155.
Yeah.
So I was a kid, you know, I'm bigger than I was then, you know. So it's like, I have a desired weight class I need to get to. And that's more important to, like, get my shit straight diet wise and everything.
Well, what do you do to like, right now you're trying to get to that point. What do you do?
Well, right now we're in a fight camp. Like, we train wrestling, jiu-jitsu, and Muay Thai like 4 or 5 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, Tuesdays and Thursdays we're doing high intensity interval training or something like that. And dude, man, I'm like killing tons of calories, man. I think that's why my shit's falling off, you know. Like, but if I can maintain it after this competition and then go even lower and be healthier and just make better choices in my diet, like, I'm pretty sure I'll fight again.
But I think the diet's the big thing. At least that is for me. Like, it doesn't matter how much I exercise or work out or run or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
But when I focus on what I'm eating, then weight just disappears. Like, it just immediately fucking falls off.
Yeah. And I agree that that's, I mean, I know I work out a ton now, you know, but I'm getting ready for this competition. So it's like, I'm consciously thinking about what I'm eating. Like, I log what I eat and everything now. And I didn't realize how shitty, you know, I was eating and stuff. And now that I'm not at the jail and that kind of stuff, like, I think I can get in a mental place where I can correct all this stuff, you know, to where I can get to where I want to be to fight.
Do you do any, like, what is your main focus when it comes to diet? Like, are you just trying to eat healthy, or do you, like, cut out carbs? Or
mostly natural foods, less carbs, no sugar, just natural foods, man, like vegetables and fruits and, I mean, meats, white meat, you know. And I've never been, like, a huge soda drinker, but so that's, like, not a problem. But like sugars and that kind of stuff, like the fucking cookie chilling over there on the counter, like I'm not eating, you know, and I think that's helping a lot too, you know, and then just to stay under a certain amount of calories, you know, I'm calorie counting. So, I think that's a big reason too.
Have you ever tried to go like a keto diet or paleo or anything like that?
I have never in my life stuck to or tried a specific diet. If I say I'm dieting, it's just literally I'm trying to eat clean and stay under a certain calorie.
And eat less, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, less portions for sure. I've never, not once, I mean, I know there's tons of different diets and that kind of stuff, but I've never done one thing. Though I can say that one thing I'm kind of sticking to right now is like intermittent fasting. Like I haven't eaten breakfast this morning or anything like that. I mean, this coffee kind of can fucks that up.
It kind of counts, but
I mean, it kind of counts, but it's fucking coffee, man. Like I know, but so like, I won't eat till like probably 2, you know, and then I'll have like a 10-hour window or something like that, you know, and that seems to help. But I mean, that's just recent. I've never done that before.
You should try going like just straight, protein meat,
just like a keto diet type thing. Yeah. I know I've heard good things, but like, I've also heard that like too long in ketosis isn't good either. Like you start to regress, you know?
Yeah. Like,
or I've heard
everybody's different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like everybody's body style is different and everything works differently for different people and all that kind of shit. Right.
Mm-hmm.
This thing might work for me and it may not work for you, but
right.
Like when I focus on no carbs.
Yeah.
And which is, that's pretty much what a, you know, paleo diet or a keto diet or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like when I just focus on, we're not going to eat carbs. So we don't need any bread, any pasta. I don't really eat that fruit that much because fruit has
sugar,
got a lot of fructose and sugar. The vegetables that I eat are very specific because there's a lot of vegetables that have high carbs. And that's it, right? I eat a lot of meat, a lot of eggs, a lot of protein, good fats like avocados, and the coffee that we have has coconut oil in it.
Yeah, man, I was going to ask you about that. I was listening to your guys' episode 100, man, and coconut coffee. And
it's good.
Like, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it's a good fat.
It's cool. Like, I cook with coconut oil, but
you start drinking it.
I don't know. Yeah, that's cool. I'll try.
But when I do that.
Yeah.
Weight just falls off.
Oh, dude.
It just fucking disappears. And I feel so much fucking better. And I can fast longer. Like I can go 2 days without eating and not be hungry, not like starving. And
well, we need it.
Yeah. It's not even like the first day I can do. We'll fast a day at a time. Like not even consciously, just being like, we're not fucking eating. Like we're busy and we're doing stuff and we didn't eat and it's not a big deal. And it's because I think, at least the way my body processes it, like, because I'm eating this stuff, it takes longer to convert and burn that energy.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's lasting with me longer. And then it's also not leaving me with any of the other side effects. Like when I eat carbs, I immediately fucking feel it. And I stay hungrier. Do you know what I mean?
It's even like if your it's body like. Needs it again.
Yeah. Even if I have like toast in the morning or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm hungrier much sooner than I would have been had I not had the toast.
Yeah. If I do eat breakfast, you know, like it's usually like eggs or just strictly protein. I don't put any carbs in it, you know? Mm-hmm. So like I do notice I'm not hungry, you know, throughout the day. I could skip lunch and, you know.
Yeah. How much more do you have to lose to get down to 165?
I don't want to talk about it. So my goal, because I started so high, right, is to get to 175 and then the week of or the, you know, and do water weight.
But, that's tough.
You know, Keith, Keith was going to do, so it in the purple belt bracket, it's either under 190, above 190, or under 165, because there's less in the state of Utah as purple belts, right? It's like a higher rank. Like, you know, so their class is different. I say like in white and blue belts, there's like 10-pound increments, you know, like, so anyway, we're all trying to get to a separate weight bracket, right? So I'm in the under 190 bracket right now, right? Another guy at the gym is in under 165, but Keith's goal is to be in the under 190, right? So if he's in there, we all want to be in kind of like a separate bracket, but he just tore his PCL. And so I am debating on just hanging out, like still eating clean, still doing what I'm doing and then just competing at whatever weight I'm at. That's still up in the air. Because cutting water weight hurts, man. Yeah. It sucks.
Yeah.
It's not good for you.
I've never had to cut weight like that before. I fought a couple of times back in the day, but luckily I was fucking heavyweight, so I didn't ever have
you
to
just do what you do. Yeah.
But I like that cannot be anywhere remotely close to fucking good for you.
No, man. I've known fighters over the years and been fighting forever, and they always cut weight like that, you know, because you want to be in the weight class below you, man. So mm-hmm. you fight supposedly a smaller guy, but everybody's doing the weight cut thing. So like I did a tournament a few years ago in Idaho, right? And I didn't cut weight, and I was in the under 195 bracket. Dude, I was going against 6'2", 6'3", giant motherfuckers, man. Huge dudes. And I was the only tiny dude in there, man.
Yeah.
You know, so like everybody's doing it. So it's like a competitive thing. You almost got to do it, you know? I mean, I still won a couple matches, but I lost a couple, man. But I don't want to do that, you know? It's like everybody in that kind of game is like trying to get that advantage, you know?
Stop eating carbs. Like across the board.
Yeah, but I like beer.
I know. So drink Michelob Ultra.
Yeah, but you don't understand that when I say I like beer, that the amount of Michelob I will be drinking, that's not good.
Yeah.
But I am drinking a lot. Like when I do drink, like a lot less. Like it's not the same as before. Like my diet is all the way around. Like I'm trying, you know. But so to say I'm not to do carbs is like, oh, fuck.
That means beer's gone.
Yeah, man.
You can do it.
Yeah, I know. I can. After this tournament, like if I'm, like I said, like I'm slowly changing my diet, everything. Maybe I'll do a keto thing, like, and just drop more, you know, and then just see where I'm at and how I feel and go from there, man.
I think you'd be surprised.
Like, I think so, man. Like I'm telling you, I've never done any specific diet before. Never.
And it's not even like the weight loss. Like I love the fact that I've lost weight and keep losing weight. Yeah. But yeah, it's like everything else that has taken place separate of that. Like nothing is achy and sore anymore. All my joints feel like really, really good. What other benefits
besides that?
Like mentally, I feel much clearer, much more focused. I don't get tired like throughout the day. You know, normally it used to be like, fuck, man, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Like we got to take a nap.
Nap
like,
time.
I'm so fucking tired.
Yeah.
All that's gone away. It's just like across the board. Physically and mentally, every aspect I think is increased and is in better shape simply by just diet. Like I don't work out that much. I don't exercise that much. I don't do a lot of physical activity.
Okay.
And I need to, and I want to.
Okay.
But I'm not. Okay. And yet I still like continually, consistently. And granted, I got a lot of weight to lose. So that's part of the reason.
Well, what's your goal?
Like my goal, my end goal is just to be healthy.
Yeah.
And I feel healthy. So I'm, you know, I'm feeling good about that. I can definitely get healthier.
Good.
But if I just focus on my weight alone, like right now I'm right around 225 and I'd like to see what I fucking look like at 205. Like if I could drop another fucking 20.
Dude, for real.
I don't think I can't remember a period in my life where I was ever at that state. I'm sure there was like, you know, 16 years old, between 18 years old.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like the last time I was at 155, dude, I was a kid.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'd like to see myself back there, mm-hmm. you know, like I'm already noticing a difference right now, like, you know, but I'd like to see myself down lower.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll try that. But you want 205.
Yeah. Like, I think it would be neat to see what fucking 205 looked like.
Man, you'd be addicted to staying that way, probably.
I think, you know, like, we've been doing this, and I've been, because I've gone up and down over my whole life where my weight will fluctuate.
Yeah.
And, like, at my heaviest, I was, like, 285. And
that's big. That's up there, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to say that's huge, but I didn't want to be a dick.
It is huge.
No, that's...
Yeah. That's, and I'm tall. Lot. Like, I'm 6'1".
Yeah.
So, you know, I can definitely kind of... support that weight, I suppose, but fuck, man, mm-hmm. I was a fatty. Like it was miserable and I felt miserable.
Oh yeah.
And so I've gone up and down my whole life, but anytime I can really like dial it in, and like right now I feel physically better than I've ever felt before, mentally more capable of maintaining this. And because we've really just done the best that we can to not even look at it like a diet. It's just
lifestyle.
Yeah. This is just it. Like we don't ever, like the other night we went out on Saturday.
Yeah.
And even when we like go out, because it used to be like if we go out on a date night, that's like when we're going to splurge and go eat someplace nice. And
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Have something that we want to have. And now it's like we don't even think about that. It's just we're going to go out and get something to eat and we're going to go out. But it's where can we go get what we need to eat, what we want to eat.
Not just go to any old restaurant and just say, fuck it. That's what I'm going to get.
Like, yeah.
It's our day, mm-hmm. you know, but like consciously think about.
Like, yeah. And even like I can't even, I mean, yes, I fucking enjoy shit. Like I fucking like me some ice cream.
Dude.
I like me some pizza.
Yeah.
You know, there's not that I don't. Oh, I don't even look at those things anymore. Fuck that. I look at that shit.
Yeah, and I want to mention that I like beer.
Yeah. I've got beer in my fridge. It's been there for like 6 months.
Yeah, that doesn't last. We're just not
fucking drinking it.
It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, you could do it.
I know I can.
You get rid of it.
How long have you been doing the diet?
Like since August of last year.
Okay.
So whatever, August.
And you guys have been strict, like down, like it is, that's, like, it's a lot. It's your lifestyle.
Yeah, like 90% of the time. Okay. 90% of the time we do that.
And you feel good.
Feel great. So you could easily get down to that 165.
Oh, dude. That's the thing is like, I'd probably go lower than that, you know?
Especially like, with as much as you're training. Like, that's the other thing, man.
That's what I'm saying. Like, just...
Like, you have the physicalness. Like, you're training all the time. So you've got the fucking exercise in. Now just dial in the fucking food.
Yeah.
Just start looking at carbs.
And I've known for a while that that's what it is, you know? And now just like, that's what I'm saying. Like 3 weeks, man, I've lost 14 pounds. Like even just like calorie counting, not doing a specific diet, not cutting carbs out completely. Like, dude, I'm active enough that mm-hmm. if I stuck to something like that, I could make it for sure.
Yeah. Just shift and look at carbs.
Yeah.
So like everything that you eat, just like how much carbs is in this? And if it's fresh food, like if you're eating like even salad sometimes.
Yeah.
Have a ton of carbs. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so just start looking at carbs and guarantee you could drop fucking more weight fast too.
But even like you said, like you feel better, you mm-hmm. know, like I've noticed just with this little bit of dieting, you know, like 3 or 4 weeks that I feel better, you know, I have more energy. Like I'm not tired in the middle of the day. You know, I work out for 3 hours at the gym on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'm tired and a little bit sore, but like in the next morning, I get up and go for a run. You know, there's no way in hell I would do that with a shitty diet.
Yeah.
No way. I don't feel good. You know? Yeah, I can do it. Yeah, I can do it, man. You get addicted to that feeling good, you know?
And then you fight again.
Yeah. Because I want to. Like, I still corner the guys. I help corner the guys and wrap the hands and coach them and do fight camp and that kind of stuff for
and you
the
know
guys.
It's just all mental. Like, at the end of the day.
It is all mental, dude. I know.
It's just that aspect of, like, just mentally getting to that point. Because there's that thing, like, I don't really, like, I have no desire to fight again. Not because of, like, I don't really care. I don't have anything that I feel like I need to want to fight again.
Yeah.
But, like I remember very clearly, like that mental point where like you have to cross that bridge even before you decide that you're going to fucking get in the cage and you're like, okay, I'm going to get hit in the fucking face a whole bunch of fucking times and I don't know what the fuck's going to happen.
Yeah.
And some people can cross that bridge faster and kind of get over that hump.
Yeah.
And then the longer you're away from it, I think, you know.
Yeah. And that, I think that's what it is too. But like, dude, there's dudes in the gym right now that are like, dude, you are fucking crazy, man. What's wrong with you? Because, dude, like, I don't care about getting punched in the face, man. Hit me, motherfucker. Like, mm-hmm. I don't care. Like, I almost, dude, the first time in forever, I got kicked right in the mouth the other day. And I was just working on a different kind of drill, and I was just kind of messing around. But we were sparring Muay Thai, man, dude. And I leaned right into his kick. I did one tiny thing wrong. And just blah, and like shit, like almost shut off. It was the only time that's ever happened in my life. And then I like shook it off and I was like, let's go, motherfucker. Like, that's just me. Like, I'm cool with that. Like, it doesn't bother me. You know, I'm like, people are like, you're fucking crazy, dude. What's wrong with you? So I don't think that's a huge thing, you know, like for me. But you're right. Like your mentality as far as fighting, the longer you're away from it, like, your mentality does change.
Yeah, the harder it is.
And you need to adjust again or something like that. Yeah.
So. Well, Brandon, man.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Dude, it was a pleasure being 101.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Is there some place people could find you if they want you to come and remodel their kitchen?
Yeah, man. The only place right now is on Facebook and Instagram at Old Soul Furniture and Cabinetry. And we give free bids. Just hit us up, man.
Sweet.
Come hook you up. Make your shit look nice. Yeah.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate
it. Dude, I appreciate you having me. It was fun.
And everybody go out and have a beautiful, beautiful, wonderful day.
But I used to like to go chalk it up with all the little gangsters and shit and just talk about their life and what brought them here and all this shit. You know, you become accustomed to seeing the worst of people. Man, that's the happiest I'm at, like, most of my life when I'm doing that. Like, it's blank and I just don't got to worry about a fucking thing. Catch this punch.
Yeah.
What? Dude, I'm going to get out of the way of that punch. Yeah. I'm going to tackle that motherfucker. I'm going to do something else, but I'm not catching it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to catch that shit.